You know, I've often wondered what Lazarus thought about this being raised from the dead business. Nobody asked his opinion. Nobody asked what he wanted. Now, we know what Jesus wanted and what Mary and Martha wanted because we hear about that in the story. Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick, and he says it won't be a sickness unto death. And then a short while later, he pronounces that Lazarus actually is dead and delays his going to Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live, for a couple of days when he could have rushed off. Obviously, this was not a 911 call for Jesus. He knew that it wasn't a sickness unto death, even if Lazarus died. Now, in John, Jesus knows everything before it happens. Not so much in all the other Gospels, but in John, Jesus knows everything before it's going to happen, and he knows that this is going to be an opportunity for him to show the power of God's love, even over death. So he's in no rush. He arrives, and Martha meets him first, and first thing she says is, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You'd always hear her tapping her foot. And Jesus enters into this amazing conversation, this deeply theological conversation with Martha, his friend, about resurrection. "Do you believe in the resurrection?" "I believe in the general resurrection one day," she says. And then Jesus gives what is perhaps the most profound of his I am statements in the Gospel of John. You remember, "I am the vine, I am the good shepherd." Well, here he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Then he says, "You believe that?" And she said, "Yes." And when she said yes, she wasn't affirming some doctrine about the resurrection. She wasn't affirming some theological configuration of the resurrection. She was confirming that she trusted Jesus in this life and beyond this life. Mary comes out, and the first thing she says is, "You know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You think they'd talked about it ahead of time? Jesus doesn't give her the long explanation. Instead, he has come to see his friends and to help them understand that deep friendship is not just with him, but with God. Because in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the spoken word of God. God in the flesh. Now remember, Mary and Martha and Lazarus are not described as apostles. They're not even described as disciples. They are Jesus' friends. There is a kind of intimacy here that is not really clear with any of the other official disciples. So when Jesus comes, he is prepared to assure that they trust their friend enough that he has their best interest at heart and Lazarus' best interest at heart, that whatever he does, it's going to be okay. And then he goes to the tomb and he shouts in, "Lazarus, come out!" Or maybe it's not a command. Maybe it's a request. "Lazarus, come out." Because you see, nobody asked Lazarus's opinion about this raising from the dead business. And one of the reasons my question about this passage has deepened is that a few years ago, several years before my dad's death in 2010, shortly after I got here, he had gone through a series of surgeries. And after one of those surgeries, he told me that he thought he had died. He said, "I was so peaceful. And then it felt like they were bringing me back, and I hated it. I didn't want to come back. It was so peaceful." And I started thinking, I wonder if Lazarus felt that way. He's there and he's experiencing the presence of God in a way that's unencumbered, in a way that we can't. And all of a sudden he hears, Lazarus, come out here. I happen to like to believe he had a choice. Because, you see, love cannot be commanded. I can't command you to love me. You can't command me to love you. Because love that is coerced isn't love. Love is a free choice. But what that indicates to me is that, like his sisters, Lazarus understood that whatever Jesus had in mind was going to be fine because he trusted Jesus. He knew that whatever Jesus planned to do, even if that meant he had to live a number of more years, even if that meant he had to die again. After all, we refer in the church to Jesus as the firstborn from the dead, but in the Gospels, that's not accurate. Lazarus in the Gospel of John is the firstborn from the dead, and Jairus' daughter in the other Gospels is the firstborn from the dead, but the difference is they both have to die again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the goal of all of this is to trust in him. Why do they trust in him? Well, they've trusted in him in the good times. After all, we have the story about Jesus coming to visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus and having a meal with them. We're going to have a meal in just a few minutes. And Martha is busy in the kitchen and worrying about lots of things, and Mary isn't helping, and she's sitting at Jesus' feet. But they're there for a good time. Now Jesus is there for them in a time of grief, affirming that nothing that can happen to you, not even the death of someone you love dearly, is beyond the reach of God's love, because God's love never ends. It is the one thing in this life you can count on. It is the one thing that is faithful. It is the one thing that will never fail. We will fail. Our bodies will fail. But God's love will not fail. Jesus was the living embodiment of that love. And Mary trusted it. Martha trusted it. And if Lazarus hadn't trusted it, he would have just stayed in the tomb and said, could you give me 5 more minutes? Can we hit the snooze button here? But he doesn't. He comes out wrapped in his grave clothes with his face covered, but he comes out because Jesus called him out to live his life in whatever it brought and to die another death, whatever that brought. Today we remember the saints, those persons in our lives who have been those windows into God's love, God's never-failing love. Our bodies will fail. Life will fail. God's love will not. Some of the people who we named here today have taught you about trusting Jesus. I know some of them have taught me about trusting Jesus. They have been those persons through whom that light of God shone. The loving light of Christ, we say in this church, that's who we're called to be. And we have seen that light glimmer in these folks. Now, they didn't agree on doctrine. They didn't all agree on how we ought to do communion or how we ought to do baptism. That's not the point. Because Martha and Mary and Lazarus did not believe in a doctrine of the resurrection. They believed in a person. They believed in Jesus. So did these folks. Or they would never have gravitated to this congregation and been a part of this body of Christ. So do you. Maybe because of some of them. Or you would not be here this morning. You would not be a part of this congregation if you had not seen the loving light of Christ in these people and many, many others. You can name the others in your hearts as I do, who showed us that Christ has our own best interest at heart, not just in the times when we get together and feast and party and have a great time, but in the time when our hearts are so broken we think we can never recover. We think we can't even take our next breath. Jesus can be trusted, and God's love never ends and never abandons us. Even at the moment of our death, which will one day come to each of us, we will never be abandoned by that love. Someone will be calling our name saying, "Come out." And it won't be a command, it'll be a request. And we'll come running because it's that love that moves us. No coercion, purely and simply the love that has been shared with us, calling us to a deeper and greater love. These folks whom we have named have shown us that love. Others in your life have shown you that love. Others in my life have shown me that love. Today we thank God for all the saints. Even the ones we never met, the ones we cannot name. Because they have helped remind us that no matter what is happening in the world, no matter what is happening in our life, God is faithful and God's love never fails. Thanks be to God.